95.3 AM 1620. And, of course, we're on the app, 850-437-1620, to talk to our guest today. It's Tuesday, so that means that Mike Wiggins joins us in the studio. How are you doing today, Mike?
DJ, I am doing great. Welcome to the Garden Line.
Well, thank you. I'm proud to be here and glad to be talking to you.
Oh, it's good to be talking to you. As I said, your reputation precedes you.
Oh, my goodness.
You're quite good on the radio and a master gardener. Did I get that right? Or,
you know, I have my own talents.
I got you. No, but welcome. It's fun to have you here. And we will hopefully hear from our listeners. We have some great listeners, BJ. They are great gardeners. They keep us straight. When we don't know the answer, they do. Mm-hmm. And but we enjoy having people text us with their questions, their successes, their failures, and, of course, telephone also. We'll take any telephone calls and talk to our listeners. So, good to be with you.
Absolutely. And once again, the number is 850-437-1620 if you'd like to text in your questions today.
Right. PJ, lately we seem to always start with the weather, and it is a almost, not quite, a drought situation in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, for gardeners, that means we've got to really tee it up, get all our containers watered almost every day, and our lawns and our shrubs have got to get the schedule picked up with the amount of water we're putting on there. Because, as we always say on the Garden Line, my goodness, we've all spent so much money buying plants and doing landscaping and turf and whatever, and we just don't want to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
And what is the best time of day to do that watering?
Well, and that's all important. That's all very mm-hmm. important. And that's early morning is the best. 4, 5, 6 o'clock is the ideal time. The problem is, PJ, if you water at noon, it all evaporates because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it didn't do any good. If you water at night, say 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and the sun goes down and the grass is wet, you're subject to disease, to fungus, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So early morning is by far the best. One question that we all have to answer in this time of no rain is how often should we water our lawn and for how long? I tell people, and this is just me, and people have different ideas on this, and the experts would be really mad at me if they heard me say this. I go every day, every day. I mean, it hasn't rained in a long time. I look at the weather forecast, and it's forecast, oh, maybe a thunderstorm, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually maybe not.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any in my house.
Or am I past north of here, but the south doesn't get so much of
that's
it.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. If you're up even Milton or even further north than that, you've gotten a little bit of rain.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, we really haven't had much at all. So I'm watering my lawn every day. Now, as a rule, I go 3 times a week for 30 minutes. But I'm going every day for 30 minutes. And, of course, what you don't want to do is go every day for 15 minutes. You need to get enough on there so it gets down into the root system of that lawn and survives this extreme heat. Now, we've had in the last couple of days, as we've all just been so thankful for, just a couple of degrees lower in the morning, where if you get your cup of coffee, you go sit out on your patio, it's been relatively comfortable.
It has been nice this week.
But then it just goes right back to mid-90s and, and dry. So we do have to pay very, very much attention to the lack of rain, and I call it a drought. We're not in a position where I think that anybody's going to call a restriction on watering. We've been there before in Pensacola, but I hope that certainly doesn't happen now, because that is a pain in the neck. One thing we want to talk about, and we may go into it a little bit later in the show, but so many people have installed zoysia grass. Now, PJ, we've got different. We've got centipede, we have St. Augustine, we have zoysia, we have Bermuda, we have Bahia.
Mm.
But zoysia has turned out, for various reasons, to be one of the most popular grasses, which is relatively drought tolerant. So all the books will tell you. But the books will also tell you when we get this dry, that Zoysia lawn is going to, for lack of a better word, sneak back into dormancy. So it'll start turning a little brown, and watering it, it'll come back. But you have to be aware of that if you have Zoysia. You've really got to watch your water. So many of the books will tell you different things. Different grasses are drought tolerant, insect tolerant, tolerant to disease, that type of thing. Well, in Pensacola, we've got a very unique situation here where our lawns are subject to all of those problems, mm-hmm. and we have to react accordingly.
No Interesting.
Exactly. So, anyway, that's the weather. Mm-hmm. That is the weather. But I thought what we would do today, PJ, since you've never done the show with me before.
I have not.
It might be fun to kind of go through a little checklist of things to do in late August and early September.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a, you know, go down the list of things that we need to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do people need to know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's do the first thing. First thing is going to be fertilization of your lawn. And this is words winterizer really make no sense when it's 95 degrees outside. But you need to put winterizer on your lawn. Really, all the varieties we just mentioned, mm-hmm. we need to do that. There's a certain formula. All fertilizers, PJ, have three numbers. 888, 15015, 16004. For winterizer, it's 10514. And here's why. You don't need a lot of nitrogen, because if you put fertilizer on this time of year, you're not going to get a lot of growth, because we're headed the other way, mm-hmm. headed towards dormancy. But you do need the last number of those three to be larger than the first two numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of complicated, but that's kind of what it is. Because that last number is potash. And potash is going to strengthen the roots of your grass. You're not going to see it. You put it on there, you're not going to see much, you know, much happening. But it will get into the system and create stronger roots, which carry it through the winter. So next spring, your yard is in better shape than it would be if you didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
So winterizer is very important. And using it early, I mean, you just, your mindset, or my mindset, is such that, why do I want to put a winter fertilizer on my yard when it's blazing hot?
Mm-hmm.
But late August into, I'm going to say, into mid to late September is the ideal time to do that. Now, if you've got a fertilizer at home that you used last spring, and you say, well, I'll just use that same fertilizer, generally that formula is not the one you want to use in the winter. So that 10514, or some fertilizer with a lower number at the very end of that formula, is what we need to do.
So when people are shopping, is that something that on the bag it's going to say this is like a special blend of fertilizer
that
for winter?
That winterizer in most garden centers will be stacked to the roof.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody does this time of year. I think the key is to do it early.
Mm-hmm.
Not early. Do it on time, which is late August, September. You do it in November, you really haven't accomplished much.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, once again, Mike Wiggins is our guest today. If you have any questions for News Radio Pensacola and our guest, 850-437-1620. We are actually going to be taking a break here, but when we come back, actually, I do have an orange tree in my backyard. Would love to get your...
You are a gardener, PJ. I knew it all along. I knew that was coming.
All right. We are going to be right back after this.
That sounds good.
Best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Andrew McKay here on the Pensacola Morning News. We talked with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, particularly about the fights and the sort of bad behavior surrounding high school and other football games in Escambia County. We also had a good episode of Days of Our Milton, where people were upset about, you know, a lot of different things, because it's always a lot of different things. Also, Santa Rosa County Commission, you know, some interesting discussions there, especially about what happened after the election. So lots of stuff on the podcast page at newsradio923.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And we are back with Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and of course we're on the app, 850-437-1620. If you'd like to talk to our guest today, our guest is Mike Wiggins, the Master Gardener. Mike, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Always fun.
Okay, so before we went to break, I said I have an orange tree in my backyard, something that we inherited. We didn't even know until we moved into the house.
Have you had any oranges?
We had a beautiful crop the first year, and we were giving away to family and friends. It was awesome. And then we also have like a lemon tree that comes up through the middle. I think that's like a cross-pollination thing. I'm not really sure. Again, I'm not as knowledgeable as you. But then the second year, so we did some trimming, though, to kind of trim the tree back a little bit. And, of course, we had kind of maybe a tough winter. I mean, it was that 1 week where it was close to zero. And so all of a sudden, the tree just pretty much died. And so next year, got nothing. This year, we have 20. I counted them, 20 oranges on the tree, and it still looks very sickly. What does somebody do in that kind of situation where a plant's about to die off, but you want to keep it going?
Well, the citrus situation was pretty grim after that cold snap we had last year. And some people lost their trees. Because generally, you don't really need to prune your citrus trees that much. They just don't require it, unless, you know, they're getting out of hand or, you know, just in the wrong place. But generally, you don't need to prune them. But a lot of the trees have come back, just like yours, because the best advice that we could give people after that cold snap, so many people said, my tree is dead. You know, I'm just going to dig it up and throw it away, or I'm going to prune it way, way back. All the experts would tell you, don't do anything. Don't do anything until we get into really mid to late spring to see what's going to happen. And you're a prime example that it did come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you have to look out for in that situation is, at the very base of a citrus tree, many times you'll get kind of what they call below the graft, because they're all grafted on a different root system. So what you need to do is be careful, because sometimes that growth will come out from underneath the graft, which is really coming up from the root system, which is worthless. It's not going to give you anything that you really want. So you need to keep that clipped off.
Mm.
You really do. But otherwise, it sounds like you're doing okay. And it may take another season for it to really rebound. Be sure, one, hopefully it's in the full sun. That's where they need
it is, yes.
Where it needs to be. Too, and you fertilize it during the season. You could put a little fall fertilizer on it right now.
Mm.
But you could go buy small bags of citrus fertilizer and go ahead and fertilize it right now. And that might help. But it sounds like you're on the right track.
All right. Well, you were just talking about fertilizer, and I thought, well, maybe it needs some of that. So that's why I thought I'd ask you.
You know what you could use, you know, if you had it and you were doing the winterizer fertilizer for your lawn, you can put a little bit of that around your citrus tree.
Mm.
It would be fine.
Okay.
If not, buy the specialized fertilizer for your citrus.
So there's hope. I like that.
Good for you. Good for you. I knew you were an expert.
All right. So what's next on your checklist? I know you had a checklist over there.
I do. Now, if we have any texts, we need to, of course, go right to them as soon or and we would love to have some this morning. That would be nice. One thing I forgot when we talked about the weather is it is a lot in the press right now about mosquitoes and mosquito diseases that are brought on by mosquitoes. Well, those of us who are gardeners need to be very, very careful. I'm very, very bad about taking a pot and enjoying the plant in the pot, get tired of it, put the pot behind the garage and let it sit there. Well, obviously, when it rains, when it does rain, it fills up with water. And that's standing water. And that is just calling for the breeding of mosquitoes. So be very careful to empty those pots, turn them upside down. If nothing else, be sure they've got a hole in the bottom of the pot so it drains out, so you don't have that standing water, and which would contribute to more mosquitoes. And you also may want to think about, on your patio, planting a little citronella plant, which is supposed to repel mosquitoes and allow you to sit outside and not get bit. And, of course, a lot of gardeners will use a spray called DEET, D-E-E-T, which is a mosquito repellent that you can put on yourself, which will protect you. So mosquitoes are kind of in the news right now, and so we need to do our part.
Yeah, it always seems like the mosquitoes and the things that come with mosquitoes is out there, and sometimes I wonder how much of it's there to kind of make you scared and how much of it's real, you know?
Exactly. Well, I think it's real.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful. Yes, as we go down our list here, so many times on our Garden Line show, especially with all the texts we get about one or two items on our list. We're gonna do a lightning round on them today. We're gonna get through to them. Okay. Here's something that a lot of people do this time of year, which kind of seems a little odd considering the weather, but is go ahead and plant your tomato plants now. And once again, your mind says, wait a minute, it's so hot, so dry, I need to wait till it gets cooler, till we get into October. No, you've got to plant your tomato plants now so that you can, for lack of a better word, beat the frost. Because once the frost comes, it's all over. So go ahead and plant your tomato plants now. Variety-wise, I would stick to some of the basics, the old Better Boy, Big Boy, Rutgers, those basic tomato plants. Those should do just fine. You don't want to start from seed at this point. I would go to your garden center and buy the transplants and plant those. If you're going to plant them in the ground, be sure you've prepared it correctly with some organic material. And if you're putting it in a pot, use some good potting soil. You really don't need to skimp on that. You need to put good potting soil. And go ahead and plant those tomatoes now, and you'll have a crop before the cold weather.
Wonderful. All right, so we do have a couple of questions that came in, but we're also up against a break here. So we will come back with your questions from Mike Wiggins right after this. This is Pep Talk on News Radio Pensacola.
Finding a landscaper that will actually call you back? Check. Finding one that offers high-end designs complemented with 3D walkthrough designs and 2D renderings? Check. Finding a great landscaper that can also execute beautiful landscape and hardscape designs? Check. Finding one that knows how to erect outdoor pergolas, fences, patios, and kitchens? Check. Finding the right landscaper that also offers irrigation services? Check.
Hi, this is Paul with Blue Sky Landscapes. Call us today for a free quote and check out our work at blueskypensacola.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tune in today at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show talking about registration, campus tours, financial aid, certificate programs, baccalaureate programs, and everything in between. And 92% of students graduate loan-free. You won't want to miss this show on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tonight, it's Christy D's Bad Juju, a music staple in Pensacola. Playing the top 40 hits from the 60s to today. Motown and the Obscure, the way you want to hear them. Bands on the Beach, tonight at 7 with Christy D's Bad Juju.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
And we are back with Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and of course on the app. 850-437-1620 if you'd like to text our guest today. Our guest is Mike Wiggins, the Master Gardener. We appreciate him being here so much. Now, before break, we did say we had some questions for him. So the first one is from Vicky. It says, when can I trim my Texas sage?
Well, I would, Texas sage is an interesting plant. It's known as a barometer bush because it blooms in periods of high humidity and rain. Well, we've got half of that here. We've got high humidity, no problem. Rain, not so much. But it is a good bush. I think in the fall I would go ahead and prune it back, get through the blooms, get into the winter, and then prune it back. That's what I would do in anticipation of it coming back next spring. But it's a neat plant. And you know, while we're talking about Texas sage, I got a nice email from Beth Bowles, who is the county extension agent here in Escambia County, saying, if you need some color this time of year, like a Texas sage would give you, you put this other plant in here, and it's called a Mexican bush sage. And quite frankly, it looks very similar to that Texas sage. The formal name is Salvia leucantha. But it will send up those purple spikes, and it's great that the purple spikes are above the foliage of the plant, because then your pollinators, your butterflies, your hummingbirds can all get in there. But it'll grow 2 to 4 feet, doesn't seem to take over, but it's the one that she says will really give you some color this time of year, like that Texas sage is doing. So this is the Mexican bush sage. Because we've talked over the last couple of shows, PJ, about plants to plant now that'll give you a little bit of color before it's time to put in your winter plants, like pansies, dianthus, petunias, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about vinca and begonia, even flax lilies. So in any event, Beth sent that to say if you need color right now in the latter parts of the summer, that this Mexican bush sage, and I would wager the Texas sage, would do the same thing.
Okay. Next question, and I'm not sure if we're going to have time to answer it because we do have another break coming up in about a minute, but we'll key up the question anyway. It says, I have a peach tree for about 3 years in a large pot that I don't do much to except water when I remember, but it does produce very small peaches. I know it would flourish if I took care of it, but how do I kind of, it's kind of the same question I had. How do you get that kind of plant to come back?
Sure.
We have about 30 seconds.
Okay. No, it's in a container. If you can, I would be tempted to go ahead and plant it in the ground. Keep in mind, that's going to go dormant in the wintertime. And I think if you give it a little bit more room for those roots to grow, and if you plant it in the full sun and plant it correctly with some organic material, it probably would do better than it is in that pot. So, yeah, peaches, pears, plums, all those trees we plant generally in the dormant season, January, February. So there's no hurry. Matter of fact, with the heat and the drought right now, I would probably just continue what I'm doing. But then make that change as we get into the winter.
All right. Mike Wiggins, our guest on News Radio Pensacola. We will be back with more right after this.
Fox News, I'm Gina. Tatiana Jalosi. The Israeli military saying it freed a 52-year-old Israeli Arab man from Gaza.
We're told it was a complex operation in the southern Gaza Strip. Al-Qadi is a member of Israel's Arab Bedouin minority and had been working at a kibbutz that was attacked by Hamas. He's now recovering from his ordeal in the hospital.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. Facebook's parent company Meta alleging the Biden administration pressured them to censor COVID content.
Mark Zuckerberg writes, in 2021, senior officials of the Biden administration, including those from the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 related content, including humor and satire, and expressed significant frustration when we did not meet their demands.
Fox's Peter Ducey, the White House saying the administration encouraged responsible actions to protect public health and safety. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 9:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 82 degrees and partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Well, when you're talking about government road projects, you don't hear the phrase ahead of schedule too often, but that's what we're hearing about the Highway 164 widening. The final phase of that project, the $1.25 million project, beginning today now. The end goal is widening just over 2 miles of the road from Highway 97 to Green Village Road, then north to 29. Traffic reduced now to a single lane. As that construction work continues, work is expected to be done by sometime mid-next month. Escambia County Sheriff says he wants to close down the drug house on Talladega Trail where the murder happened over the weekend.
About 6 weeks ago, we did a search warrant there. There were like 20 people in there. When we served a search warrant, 2 people were overdosing on fentanyl.
Those 2 people were found stabbed at that home over the weekend. One woman died. A man was taken to the hospital in critical condition. There's no update on his condition as of today. The identities of those 2 victims have not been released. Sheriff Simmons says he's placed the nuisance abatement surveillance vans now outside of that home and is writing a letter to inform the owner the house has been deemed a nuisance, which could potentially lead to it being seized and torn down the road. It's 9:32. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
It is going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 90 degrees. Feeling more like the upper 90s to triple digits. 40% chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon and early evening. As you head overnight, temperatures dropping near 78. Another 40% chance of rain on that Wednesday. High near 90 degrees, low near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we do have 82 degrees now in Pensacola. 80 in Gulf Breeze. 82 also in Milton. And taking a look at our roads around the area, 10 and 110, both checking in pretty decent. Looks like actually now a slowdown does look like it's popping up there on 10, approaching the 29 interchange. A lot of construction work going on around there. Also seeing some slowdowns on 90 pace through Milton area and 98. Maybe a little bit of a slowdown as you approach Perdido Bay. Other than that, everything looking pretty good. Time for a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Hundreds of Volkswagen staff are spending time at XPeng as the German auto giant and the Chinese startup work to create electric cars for China. Volkswagen in July of 2023 announced a $700 million investment into XPeng to jointly develop 2 electric cars for delivery in China, expected in 2026. XPeng co-president Brian Gu said the partnership will also help the company's global ambitions. Apple has set a new event for September 9th, where the tech giant is expected to unveil its latest iPhone and Apple Watch models with artificial intelligence features. The products aren't typically made commercially available until several weeks later. According to Mac Rumors, the iPhone 16 is expected to hit store shelves on September 20th. Stocks are slightly lower. The Dow Industrials down by 58, the NASDAQ down by 42, the S&P 500 down by 6. That's Your Money Now.
9:35, your next news at 10 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
And now, a step back in the news archives with the late John Appleyard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
August the 27th, 1916, from the office of Captain Henry Mustin, commanding officer, Pensacola Aeronautical Station, this is News Radio 1620. Captain Mustin advised newsmen just moments ago that later today, certificates of graduation will be issued to 53 men who have completed training in either blimps, balloons, kites, or the new dirigible, which is now here in Pensacola. The captain advised that though balloon flights date back over 150 years, the use of power on lighter-than-aircraft, or blimps that is new, dating from the work of Count Zeppelin in Germany at the turn of this century. Early in the war in Europe, the captain advised the Zeppelins, or dirigibles, were used successfully to bomb three coastal cities in England, and balloons continue to be effective for observation by Allied and Entente forces. The equipment used here at the air station has come largely from the Goodyear Company in Ohio, with assistance in engines from the Glenn Curtis Company in New York.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
We are back. It's Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable, 92.3. 95.3 AM 1620 and on the app. Well, I'm sorry to cut it brief there.
Oh, no. PJ, I you know, in our conversations a minute ago, I was intrigued that PJ was in classic rock radio. He is just what the doctor ordered for our show. Because like I told you, we always pride ourselves on our music, you know, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, like I was saying, I got my start in classic rock radio many, many years ago, so.
I am one of your predecessors on the show. She and I really paid attention to our music, and we're going to make a CD, The Best of the Garden Line, and we were going to just make a fortune. Well, that didn't work, but we had fun with it, no doubt about it. BJ, one thing I did, I got to backtrack real quick to tomato plant discussion. If someone's listening, or they probably know this, but if you're going to plant a tomato plant, and sometimes you don't have to plant the back 40, you may want to plant one cherry tomato plant in a big old pot just for fun, just to make a salad, if you will. But if you buy tomato plants, be sure to try to find those that have three letters on the label, VFN. VFN means that tomato plant is resistant, not immune, but resistant to what we call the wilt, because even your best vegetable gardeners will have these beautiful tomatoes growing, and they'll walk out to look at them, to water them, and they're just weeping. They've just have wilted down. And if that's the case, there's nothing one can do. You just have to rip it up and start all over. So if you'll buy the tomato plants that have the VFN letters, that really does help you out. Help you, you're a step ahead, let's put it that way, of getting the wilt. Also, not only the tomato plants, but in the fall, cabbage, collards, turnips, strawberries, all kinds of things that you can plant in the fall. And a lot of people like the fall gardens more than the spring gardens, because you don't have quite the varmints and the weather problems. So what you need to do, though, is prepare the garden soil. And to me, the key to preparing the soil is Canadian sphagnum peat moss. If you've got just an area of dirt, and in Pensacola, we don't have soil, we have sand. That's generally what we have, especially as you get into Gulf Breeze. Nothing but sand. So you've got to add organic material to the sand for your vegetable garden, your tomato garden, whatever you're going to plant. And so I like to put about, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 inches of peat moss over the soil, the sand we have, a little sprinkling of fertilizer, and then turn all that over. Get a pitch, a fork, or a shovel, just turn it over, rake it smooth, and then plant in that area. But that peat moss will help retain moisture in the soil. It'll make it organic. And it's just something that we should all always use. It's kind of a one step. Sometimes it's a little bit too much, a lot of trouble, but it will make all the difference in the world. And we talked about planting in containers in a nice big pot. That's good too. But don't skimp on your garden soil that you put into the pot, the potting soil that you buy in the bag. You can buy the 99-cent special, and it's just not going to be good for you. You may have to spend a little money to get the good stuff, but that's what I would recommend.
Okay, good tip.
No doubt.
We do have some additional questions here.
Sure.
So it says, when do I harvest my sweet potatoes? The vines have overtaken the garden.
I think you're about ready right now. I think you're ready to go. Sweet potatoes are something that I don't think a lot of people plant. I've never planted them myself, but I know a lot of folks do. So very interesting, but I would think you're about ready to go at this point in time.
Okay. Another question is Lantana, well-established flower bed, covered with it. Have you seen... have neem oil and copper sulfate spray. Should I spray it? Ideas. Love your show.
Well, Lantana is, for lack of a better word, a very scientific word, is kind of bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
If you have insects, I have two patches of Lantana that I've grown. And it's really been a weird year for the Lantana. Both are in the full sun. Both get water. Ones in the backyard have just not bloomed well at all. They're dwarf yellow Lantana, and they just not blooming, and there's nothing wrong with them. There's no fungus on them. There's no insects. They just other ones. But the one in the front yard, I mean, it is loaded with yellow blooms. It's absolutely gorgeous, and I've treated them both the same. You never know. But Lantana are usually planted where it's kind of dry because they really, really are very hardy. I would not spray them unless you need them. It's all the integrated pest management philosophy, whereas there's no sense to spray a plant if it's not necessary. I mean, it may be a preventative measure, that's true, but for the most part, you just... don't spray in areas where you don't need it. In other words, if you have insects in the front yard, yeah, spray them. We'll take care of them. But no sense spraying in the backyard because there's nothing there. So from an environmental standpoint and from a cost standpoint, that integrated pest management philosophy is the best. Now, I'm intrigued with the two materials that our texter said, PJ. Was neem one of them, that neem oil?
Yeah, neem oil and copper sulfate spray.
Yeah, see, that's an organic. Those are organic sprays. That neem oil especially is organic. A lot of people use that for insects. If you've got insects on there, sure, that would be a great product to use. It'd be safe, and I would agree with that. The copper sulfate, I don't know exactly what you would want to spray the Lantana with that for, so I wouldn't do it. But if you have insects, I'd use the neem. I really would. So I would like, if the texter is still listening, ask them what the copper sulfate, why are they spraying it with that? It's very interesting. But anyway, the neem oil, though, is good. It's just one of those things for insects. And there are not many organic materials out there to spray for insects, but that's one of them. The neem oil comes from a tree. It's an oil that comes from a tree. It's from the neem tree. And it is organic. So in any event, if you're listening still, what are you going to use the copper sulfate for? I'd be interested to know.
All right. And I did text them back, so we'll see
good.
If we get
Thank
an
you.
Answer to that.
Good.
So we have Mike Wiggins, Master Gardener, as our guest today, News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. Once again, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on the app. 850-437-1620 if you'd like to text us with your questions.
It's hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm-ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
Join the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9. They'll be talking about their upcoming fundraiser, Rock for Vets, as well as other initiatives they support. The Rock for Vets fundraiser is September 14th at Community Maritime Park and will support our local homeless veteran community. Learn more about Rock for Vets and the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, checking in.
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family, together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
Hi, I'm Terrence Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on the app, 850-437-1620. If you'd like to talk to our special guest, Mike Wiggins, today, the Master Gardener. Mike, welcome back.
Well, good to be back. We're rolling along here. We've gone two items down our list. Let's jump to number three.
Yes, let's move ahead with that.
Number three. Let's go into weed killer, killing weeds in the lawn.
Okay.
Or trying to prohibit weeds from getting into the yard. Number one, just one thing that all the experts always say is a lush lawn is still the best defense against weeds. That's common sense, but that's the truth. So if you water right, you fertilize right, you mow it right, that's very important, mowing it high. Things that you do, the cultural things that you do, are going to reduce your weed population. But it's Pensacola. You're going to get weeds. There's no doubt about it. Now, as you get into the fall, there are two ways to approach it. One, you can use a post-emergence weed killer. Now, that post-emergence weed killer means you're after a weed that's there. It's sitting there in your lawn like a dollar weed, and you want to spray it and get rid of it. You can do that, but don't rush it, because if you start spraying when it's too hot, it's like putting a blowtorch on your yard. You don't want to do that. So if you're going to use a post-emergence, which is really only going to control your broadleaf weeds, dollar weed, Florida pusley, that type of thing. If you're going to do that, I certainly would wait probably till late September or October. Get those nighttime temperatures well into the 60s, daytime temperatures, no more than the low 80s, and then you can consider it. A lot of people don't do that because a lot of those broadleaf weeds are annuals, and a good cold winter will kill them. But what you really need to do is use what we call a pre-emergence. Now, we just used the post-emergence. Mm-hmm. Pre-emergence, that keeps weeds from germinating and coming up. You need to do that in November and then wait 90 days into February and do it again. That will keep the weeds from coming up next spring.
Mm.
Now, everybody listening, including those of us sitting here, know none of this stuff is perfect. Mm-hmm. It just is not perfect, but it really will help. But here's one of the problems we have, BJ, is people like to put that pre-emergence on in a weed and feed formulation. You go to the garden center, you buy a bag of weed and feed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we do not recommend that on the garden line. We say don't do that because your timing is all off. We're going to jump to springtime now. You need to put the pre-emergence on in February because once they're up, you know, we can have a very pretty warm March. The weeds are going to jump up. Mm-hmm. If you wait till April, it's too late because they've already come up. So you use your pre-emergence in February. I like February 15th is a good date to work on that. So go ahead and use that pre-emergence in February. Now, what you don't want to do is put it out in the weed and feed form because weed and feed has the pre-emergence fertilizer, okay, and it's got the weed killer. The weed killer needs to go on in February. The fertilizer doesn't need to go on till April, maybe even May. So you don't want to put the weed and feed on because you'll be putting the fertilizer on much too early.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to use the weed and feed late because it's too late to kill the weeds.
So do you ever recommend weed and feed for any application or just don't use it?
No, don't use it. Don't buy it. Don't use it at all, ever. It's just your timing is always, always off.
Mm-hmm.
Your weed killer, your pre-emergence, I like to use a liquid such as atrazine. That's a good one. Dimension. You can use Dimension to granular. It's not bad. But point is, you've got to watch your timing on your weed control. And use that pre-emergence in November, 90 days later in February, then your fertilizer later in the spring. That's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. What's next on the list?
Oh, my goodness.
Still have a few minutes left.
Oh, let's just keep going. Oh, all right. Here's an interesting one. So many people have used over the years, including myself, have used Roundup. Now, Roundup has gotten a lot of press, a lot of lawsuits, a lot of people suing the Roundup folks. And so what they have done is changed formulation. Roundup for years has been a chemical called glyphosate. Now, it's still allowed, in my opinion, what I understand, in a commercial, agricultural use. But for the homeowner, you can still go buy the label Roundup, but it has a different chemical formulation. It doesn't contain glyphosate anymore. PJ, on the show, we've talked for years now about Roundup, saying it really was a personal decision. I encouraged whoever was going to use it to do research and decide if it was for them, because it really does a great job. Not only the Roundup did, but the new one does also, killing weeds down to the root. Now, you can't use it on your lawn because it would kill the lawn also. Mm-hmm. But if you've got weeds in your driveway, weeds in a flower bed, which has separation between your landscaping plants, it really is wonderful. You just can't spray it near anything desirable because it'll translocate from the leaves down into the roots and kill it. You've got an azalea, and you get Roundup on an azalea, it'll get right down to the roots, and it'll kill the plant. Mm. So just go for the weeds, and it really is good. Now, what kind of weather do you want to use Roundup? Well, right now, the hotter and the drier it is, the better it works. But the important thing to remember is, and I would recommend, just to be sure that it's not an old product that's been sitting on the shelf, read the fine print. And if it's glyphosate as your active ingredient, don't use it. Don't use it. Buy the new one, the new formulation. But it does have its use, and it does work. But you have to be so, so careful.
So you talked a little bit about spraying the weeds. Is there any benefit to hand pulling and then just spraying the area where the weed was?
No, okay. Not really. Now, I shouldn't say not really because that's not totally true. pulling weeds by hand is no fun.
No, it's not.
And in this weather, who's going to get out there? Oh, yeah, honey, let's go out. It's noon. Let's go out and pull some weeds. Well, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. But, yes, of course, sometimes you just get out there in a certain area that's really bothering you, and you hand pull some of the weeds. But you would not want to spray anything to keep the weeds from coming back, unless if it was in your lawn, it was that November, February pre-emergence application. Now, if it's in a flower bed, there are some pre-emergence things like Preem that you can sprinkle in the bed to keep the weeds from coming back. So depending on where it is, yes, you could do that.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Very good, PJ.
All right. Well, I know the list is a little bit longer than the items that you've covered, so let's keep moving along.
Let's hit it. Okay. All right, this is good. All right. If you've got St. Augustine grass and you haven't used limestone, put lime on it, I'm going to say in 2 years, 3 years, it's probably a good time to do it. Now, you can tell if you need to spend that money on lime by doing a soil test. And if you do a soil test, you can dig up a sample, take it. Werner Turf, for example, is a business over here on Creighton. They have a what they call a soil kit, and they will send it off and give you an analysis to let you know if you need lime. The reason we use lime is that we have an acid soil here in Pensacola, all along this part of the Gulf Coast. That's why azaleas and camellias, that's why you have Bellingraf Gardens over there. Because our soil is acid, and azaleas and camellias and gardenias, those type of plants, love an acid soil. Mm. Centipede grass likes an acid soil. St. Augustine, not so much. The lime corrects that. The lime will correct that. So you put that lime on there, and it'll raise that pH up, and the roots of the plant or the plant or the grass itself can better use the nutrients that you put on it.
Mm-hmm.
So liming St. Augustine every couple of years probably makes sense, maybe every 3 years. And even if you don't want to go to the trouble of getting the soil test, if you want to just say, I'm going to put some lime out, it's not expensive, just do it. Can't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Can't Mike hurt. Wiggins is our guest. If you have any questions, 850-437-1620. What's the next item?
Hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds. I tucked that in there just because a lot of our listeners, so we've heard from them before, put up their hummingbird feeders and are waiting for the hummingbirds. And I did it, and I got them.
Oh, nice.
It's really kind of fun to
watch. Yeah, we love seeing the birds there, too.
They fight like children. But hummingbirds are good. There's different formulas that you can put, make for your hummingbird feeder. You know, sugar water is what it amounts to.
Mm-hmm.
But they're here, and I know people are enjoying them. And so if you have a hummingbird feeder and you don't have it up, go for it. Go for it. The last thing on the list, not the last thing on the list, we haven't even gotten halfway through it, but what I'm going to mention is, and we'll have to talk more about this next week, is sod webworms and chinch bugs attacking St. Augustine grass. It's that time of year. Matter of fact, it's the height of the season where you have to look for those and treat them accordingly. So we'll talk more about that next week, PJ, but that's something we've got to pay attention to, especially with this heat, because those varmints are tropical, very tropical insects, and we certainly have had tropical weather.
Yeah. It looks like we actually have maybe another minute or so. So if you want to just continue on, is there a good place for people to go if they want more information? Is there a good book out there, a website, anything you want to plug?
Well, I think the county agent is a great resource. They really are. Beth Bowles is our county agent. And if you have questions, need literature, and of course the internet is always right. So we know that, right? But, yeah, but one last thing we will say, because this is probably the most important thing. If you're going to mow your lawn this week, mow it high, at least 4 inches for St. Augustine, 3 for centipede, around 2 for zoysia. It's so important to mow it high, especially in this particular weather. You don't want to scalp the yard and get that water to it. I've seen a yard of yards in the neighborhood that are suffering. So water and mow it right, and we'll be on the right track.
All right, Mike Wiggins, thank you for joining us on Pep
Talk. Thank you, PJ. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.